All right, guys. Second episode of the Minority Report 22. Kind of to explain the name of the podcast. The reason behind the name is the Minority Report being that I am a minority because I am of Hispanic descent. I was born abroad as well, as I explained a little bit of my background on the first episode, so no need to go further into that. And then the 22. Now, if you look at the description for the podcast, it talks about veterans. Obviously, I'm a veteran, so this is a topic that is very near and dear to my heart. So if you're a veteran and or you have a family member that's a veteran or currently serving, first and foremost, thank you for your service. As a fellow veteran, I know the hard work and the dangerous environment under which you currently work or did at some point. I also represent the disabled veterans out there because I am a disabled veteran. So I'm very pro-veteran, obviously. I want this country to change the narrative as far as how we take care of our veterans. Not because I need somebody to take care of me, but there's a lot of guys out there that do need the help. Fortunately for me, I am blessed. I did two tours, combat deployments in Iraq with my guys, and I am fully able and capable to get employment as well as maintain it, although under much physical distress. But I know that there are guys that are far worse than I am, and so I choose to not use that as a crutch or any sort of an advantage where I'm asking people to give me any special favors or do anything special for me. I believe that we shouldn't have to. I think people should naturally want to help us out as much as they can. So the 22, it's a number that's very close to my heart because as it stands now, the rate is 22 veterans a day commit suicide because of a litany of things such as drugs, PTSD, depression, what have you. And it all stems from PTSD and the stuff that we went through while we were over there. I have PTSD. The biggest misconception about PTSD is that basically that we're all crazy. And that's not true. That nothing could be further from the truth. You can hear me. I can put sentences together, and I'm not in any way, shape, or form going berserk or anything like that. I'm a perfectly functional male adult with a beautiful family, and so people just need to be aware of the fact that PTSD comes in all shapes and sizes, and yeah, it's not just all crazy. You know, obviously some guys are perturbed further than others. But we have to make sure we make that distinction. So, just to kind of give a description about it, and I hope that people understand that and don't jump to conclusions very often. Alrighty, so that's what the 22 signifies in the title. I wanted to make sure that everybody's aware of that, but all right, moving on. I'd like to talk about a website that I've recently discovered that I find very informative and is a pretty good resource for veterans especially. This specific website would be probably most useful to veterans, although I encourage anybody to go out there and check out the website. It's called veteransnewsnow.com. So that's veteransnewsnow.com. A lot of good information about veterans, our issues, the stuff that we deal with day to day. A lot of good resources. It gives you links and a lot of news feed, politics. Let's see. It talks about the economy, investigations that are underway, or that I guess they cover. Certain investigations like the 9/11 investigation, the Gaza massacre in 14, the JFK assassination, 63, and the USS Liberty in 67. That's part of the link there. You got some other tabs. The life tab talks about education, environment, health, history, personal finance, religion, and whatnot. Gives you under the media links, it gives you access to look into a podcast called Democracy Now. I haven't checked it out. I'll check it out here soon. See what that's all about. At the bottom, you'll see there veterans and PTSD, which we'll get into here in a little bit. Talks about the Middle East, the military, politics, and veterans in general. So I encourage everybody to go check that check that website out, and hopefully you enjoy it. I've been on it a couple days now, and you know, I like it a lot. So again, the website is veteransnewsnow.com, veteransnewsnow.com. All right, so let's get into some of the meaty topics. Let me forewarn you, I will try not to engage in any profound language, but I am a veteran, and we've been known to sling a curse word or two, so I'm not going to do it intentionally. I hope not to do it. I can keep the conversation professional and without profanity, I'll do so, but if I feel like I'm making a point and I need to emphasize a certain point or something like that, where I could be like, whatever, I might do that as well, so bear with me, and if for whatever reason you feel offended, I apologize. My intention is not to offend anybody, but to raise awareness on veterans' issues, talk about the politics, the current state of our country and our government, and foreign affairs as well. I am one that's very interested in what happens in the Middle East, because I have a lot of friends that died in Iraq. Never get a chance to go to Afghanistan, but in Iraq. And some friends that stayed in and deployed to Afghanistan. And they lost their lives there. So hopefully we get that resolved. We'll see what all happens there. Anywho, so sticking with that theme, let's talk a little bit about ISIS. So a lot of folks tend to think that ISIS is something that we can't control and something that's just out of control, that's tearing up the Middle East. And, you know, we should be petrified because they're, you know, chopping people's heads off, going after our people. Well, I'll tell you what, I'll refer you to a gentleman by the name of Marcus Luttrell. If you guys remember a movie, Lone Survivor, they made a movie out of it. Mark Wahlberg was in that movie. It details the life of a gentleman by the name of Marcus Luttrell, who was a Navy SEAL, deployed in Afghanistan. They went on a mission up in some mountains. They got discovered. All of his buddies got killed. He got shot a couple times and came to very close to dying there. You can look that guy's name up and check out his story. I won't get too much into it, but that guy's he's a hero of mine. He's an awesome person and should be recognized as such. So this gentleman, Marcus Luttrell, was on, I believe it was a Fox News or some conservative publication, news channel. And they were interviewing him, asking him about what's going on over in Iraq and Syria with the whole ISIS thing. And he pretty much asked them, what can we do to mitigate the threat of ISIS abroad and here in our country, with the attacks that have been going on and whatnot. And they pointed out that there were about 300 Marines that were stationed throughout, more as military advisors to the Afghan government and the military. And he was actually surprised to hear the number. He was like, well, 300 Marines. And they asked him, what can we do with 300 Marines? His response was, it was just lovely. I laughed so hard. It was a great, great response. And the response was, well, with 300 Marines, shit. With 300 Marines, we could take over all of Iraq if we wanted to when they were in Iraq. We're talking about the time frame where they had just taken over Ramadi, taken control over Ramadi. Since then, we've gotten Ramadi back, but he stated, and this is how I feel, a lot of my friends that served with me, he said, and now I'm paraphrasing, but along the lines of, if you let the chains off of these Marines, you can literally pretty much take over Iraq if you wanted to. And that's something that I struggled with while I was there. I know a lot of my friends did too as well. There's very, politics gets in the way of you doing your job. And when you're in the battlefield, you don't want that to hinder your capability to execute your mission to the best of your ability. But when you have restrictions on the things you can do, and I'm not talking about here murder and pillaging and raping people in villages and this and that. I'm talking about, you know, playing by the same set of rules that the enemy plays by. So, and by that, I don't mean chopping people's heads off, but just giving us the breathing room that we need to go ahead and persecute the folks that are over there trying to do harm to our boys. And I agree with Marcus. Mr. Latrell has a great point. If you would just let us do our job while we're over there, just take the chains off of us, let us do our job, basically, essentially what I mean. ISIS is not that big of a deal. They're widespread because we've allowed them to do so. We've allowed them to do as they please with Iraq, Syria. That shouldn't be tolerated because eventually it's going to make its way over here. If you give them time to plan an attack, to get their people in here, or to convert the very, you know, the horrible people here that would socialize with that kind of human being. They wouldn't be effective. So, what's going on in the Middle East as far as the threat of ISIS is concerned? They are who they are because we've allowed them to do so. Make no mistake about it. The United States military is capable of annihilating ISIS in a heartbeat throughout Iraq and Syria. Okay, Afghanistan is a different set of problems, but we might talk about that a little later on. To finish up with my point about ISIS is that the government gets in the way of the military in a lot of ways. I agree that, you know, we shouldn't, eradicate a large group of people in the attempt to get rid of a bad seed or two. It should be surgical attacks like the ones that we've, you know, concluded. So my thing is, so many people that complain about the drone attacks and this and that. Meanwhile, you know, before the drones came about and they became so popular and such a useful technology, everybody was complaining, we have to figure out a different way to take care of this war in Iraq and not get so many of our veterans hurt and blown up and killed and messed up. And we found a way. Robots. That would be the only way to carry out a war on behalf of the United States in a foreign country without having to worry about the loss of life. And we did that with great precision, great accuracy, and fiercelessly. And people are complaining about that. So this is me to the citizens of this country is, if you really think ISIS is a problem, tell the government, send our military, get rid of it, just do what they do. Do what they do best. Don't put any restrictions on them. Let them act on their own accord. We're not going to go out there and kill babies or, you know, there's always collateral damage, don't get me wrong. But a lot of times the enemy puts themselves in that situation. And when you hear stories about a teenager being shot and killed by the military army, this and that, yeah, that same little teenager is the one grabbing up an AK and pointing it at one of our guys taking pop shots. It's the same teenager that is handling the remote, detonating the roadside bomb that's going to mangle, destroy, possibly kill, more than likely maim one of our service members. So, you know, from our side of things, let's go after ISIS. Let's go find them. Once we find them, send a group of Marines in there, send a battalion's worth of Marines, and eradicate the problem. You won't have the issue anymore. But the government doesn't want to. They don't want to. The public, the
as they say, public opinion is too, it's just too weak. Americans are too weak on their opinion. They don't know what it's like over there. And that's why they have the opinions they have about the people that were fighting over there. And, you know, I just say, if you really want to get rid of ISIS, then let our Marines, our soldiers, our special forces, just go ahead and do the job. If you want this guy killed, look for him, kill him, period. That's it. Don't put restrictions. And when I talk about restrictions, I'll give you an example. My first tour, there are what we call ROEs and EOFs. So ROEs is an acronym for Rules of Engagement. These are rules be set by our government that from what they say, is a standard set by NATO, which we're the only ones that adhere to it. So, it pretty much, my first deployment, it was, if anybody with a ski mask is in the vicinity of a patrol and looks threatening, you were allowed to engage that target. Great. Because for one, it was widespread knowledge in country, and when I say in country, I mean Iraq. They know not to wear ski masks. Nobody should hide their faces. The only people hiding their faces would be the cowards that are taking pop shots at us and setting up roadside bombs to fuck us up. So, you know, if you were innocent, an innocent civilian, you knew not to do that. Perfect. Great way to distinguish them. Later on, that changed. It went from about, I want to say 2 or 3 months into the deployment, it went from that to, they have to be pointing a weapon at you. What kind of sense does that make? We're going to wait until the enemy is pointing a weapon at us before we're allowed to even engage that target. It's ludicrous. Another example. If we're in the middle of a firefight and the insurgent goes back and they hide out in a mosque. Hide out in a mosque, like I was just saying. We couldn't go in after them because it was a holy site. Okay? So what they started doing, they learned our ROEs, the insurgents, the terrorists, the Mujahideen, okay? The Arhabi. They would know to retreat into a mosque after engaging us, then calling in mortars on our positions around the mosque. They would stash caches of weapons inside the mosques because they knew we couldn't go in there. We had to get the permission of a fucking 3-star general to go inside of a mosque after a target. Can you believe that? You know how long it takes to get a hold of a fucking general, let alone a 3-star one? It took hours, days. We'd have to stay on target, okay, in a cordon, cordoning off the area. And that was it. Because we could not go into the fucking mosque. That makes no fucking sense. I think the laws that should be beset upon our military is you play according to the rules of our enemies. If our enemies are capturing our guys and chopping their heads off, guess what? I can put 2 to the chest and 1 to the head on anybody we capture. Okay? So, that's that as far as the dealings with ISIS and stuff like that. You gotta understand, man, when you send the fucking wolf to go after another wolf, You just gotta let the beast fucking, you can release the beast. Just let them go. You know, don't treat it like anything other than fucking war. It's war, period. And in war, shit is ugly, shit is horrible. You know what I mean? People die. So, I think that our military has been deteriorated because of it. So, I would love to see politicians get out of the way of the military. That's not to say let the military do as they please. But you know what? Our military is very very capable. Not just in the operational side, but in the discipline side, man. You'd be surprised on a lot of cats that were in the military. And, you know, we were all about the mission. Let's get it taken care of. What are we doing? Where are we going? You know, we put ourselves in some deep shit a lot of times to get shit done. Stuff that made no sense, and we still did it, regardless of how dangerous it was. That's what you, when you sign up for the military, that's what you get yourself into. I mean, come on, especially the infantry. So, that's why it bothers me so much, why people don't make a bigger deal out of our veterans. Not because I'm a veteran, but because of the stuff they go through. And I guess the only reason, you know, it's so near and dear to my heart is because I experienced it. So I know what it's like. And I'm telling you, it's hard. It's not easy. It's dangerous. You're away from your loved ones all the time. You're in a dangerous situation. You don't do it for the glory, the fame. You don't do it for the thank yous. But I think that should be a fucking no-brainer. You know what I mean? But I guess in this day and age, it's just it's overlooked. People think they have it hard because they got to work two jobs to pay their bills. Meanwhile, you got somebody that's making half what they make and is out there putting their life on the line to protect their fucking ass here. So, just a thought. Obviously, if you haven't deciphered by now, I was in the Marine Corps. So, United States Marine Corps, 5.5 years, 0-3-11. I served with 2nd Battalion, 6th Marines. I want to say 90% of the time, the last couple of months, they sent me over to, I believe it was 3-9, if I'm not mistaken. So yeah, around that time in 2008, middle to late 2008, they were ramping up and standing up some units that had been stood down since Vietnam. They hadn't been operational since Vietnam. So they were building up numbers, I'm assuming, for another surge, but that never came about. Anyways, I was stuck there with a lot of other senior Marines that were getting out, and we were tasked with training the new recruits, the new guys that were coming over from SOI. So that was fun, to say the least. We got a lot of people from security forces. Horrible. Some cool people, but for the most part, it's just a different lifestyle that I notice from the infantry to security forces. Our staff sergeant came from Paris Island. So you can imagine, I was used to my low rags. I had to get a medium rag. And, you know, I was threatened with NJP if I didn't get a high and tight. And I was like, get the fuck out of here. It was tumultuous, man, to say the least. So I saw what was coming down the pipe and I was like, oof, no, man. If I could have stayed with 2-6 the whole time, that would have been perfect. Stayed with my boys, but they were training up to go to, I believe it was Afghanistan. Now, on that note, and I'm going to end this here, a lot of great memories, a lot of sad memories. I just want to put this out there for anybody that's going through a rough time, any of my veterans that are possibly in such a bad spot that they're thinking about taking their own life, please don't do that, man. You guys and girls, what you've gone through and survived, come on. You've been through too much. You're a proven warrior, you know, and America is going to be a weaker country. The United States would be a weaker country without you here. You have so much to live for. You might not know it yet, but you have so much to live for. I am living proof. You know what I mean? Just put your head down in that same mentality that we all have.
Yeah, that's the mentality. And so, with that being said, there's a phone number you can call if you feel like you're in a situation where you might want to take your own life. The number is 1-800-273-8255. That's the VA crisis hotline. Again, the phone number is 1-800-273-8255. Please don't hesitate to call. Hit me up on Twitter, Facebook, same name, anything. Please just, you know, look out for each other, take care of each other, and until next time, put one more up here, another week or so, and see if it's resonating with anybody. Alrighty, much love, Semper Fi.